This podcast replay is brought to you by Perdomo Cigars. Check out the retail store in Miami Gardens at 5150 Northwest 167th Street. Plenty of cigar gear and a relaxing lounge. This is the Perdomo way.
Drew Rosenhaus yesterday. Let's get back to a little Dolphins talk. We talked a little bit about the Tyreek issues, and that's passed. So you're going to have to go and rewind in the first hour and go check it out. And I address all the Tyreek issues. Connor Williams, I saw Drew Rosenhaus yesterday, and, you know, the Aaron Brewer kid that they signed, the center, he can play guard too. And he said that it's kind of a competition and that hasn't been settled. So it's not sure that he's going to be your center because they could draft a center. You know what I mean? There could be competition. You never know. Or they could sign somebody else. I think it's more along the lines about what happens in the draft in the first or second rounds. But anyway, as I digress, agent Drew Rosenhaus said Connor Williams' knee injury last night on Channel 7 called it significant, and also said that he would not expect Williams to be signing with any team in the near future. And when they talked about Chubb's knee injury, because, you know, people are writing about how Chubb and Phillips could be ready for the beginning of the season. And yeah, they could be ready. They might not be themselves or whatever. They could be ready, whatever, bro. At this time, to be speculating about an article in March about whether they're going to be ready or not, it's just filling space, bro. That's all we're doing. But my point is, Drew was quick to say, if it was a clean break, oh, yeah, no, Chubb can be back at the beginning of the year. And then later on in the show, that's when Josh Moser asked him about Connor Williams. And then that's when he went into, and he said, well, Connor had a significant knee injury. And then that's when you were like, whoa, now you know why the Dolphins went in another direction right away. So it's a significant knee injury. So that means, man, that's bad. There must have been ligament and cartilage damage and all kinds of shit. And it must be really bad. And so he said he's not going to sign anytime soon. It's bad for him, really bad for him. The only thing I could see is that he's going to have to sign a contract that is going to be very, very low. And so Miami could bring him back eventually to see if maybe he can regain his form and all that kind of stuff, or be a backup and help out in depth, that kind of stuff. But sad to hear that it was that bad. That is scary, man. Really is. All right. What else do we have going on?
This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
What's your opinions of fans of a team out of state and or state they rarely visit? I think a fan of the Miami Dolphins in Indonesia is just as important as the fan that is in a suite buying 10 tickets. How do you like them apples? I've said that over and over again. Just because you go to the game doesn't make you a better fan. Maybe you can afford it more than the other guy. There's lots of fans that are diehard, rabid Dolphin fans, but man, they can't afford to go to a game. Or maybe they only go to one game every two or three seasons. Or maybe they can only go to one game a season. Or maybe they live too far away. You know what I mean? I think every fan is just as important as any other fan, to be quite honest. That's the way I look at it. I don't look at the guy that has 10 Dolphin jerseys and the other guy that only has a Dolphin t-shirt and, oh, the guy that has 10 Dolphin jerseys. No, he's more of the hardcore fan. No, bro, he probably can afford more. The guy that only has a t-shirt probably could. Well, he would love to have 10 jerseys. He watches all the same games the guy with the 10 jerseys does. He watches the news. He keeps up with our show or whatever show, whatever. He's a hardcore Dolphin fan, just like the guy with the jerseys. I've said this for years, dude. I don't care. If you're a fan, you're a fan. You love your team, you love your team, man. If you can only watch them, then that doesn't make you any less of a fan. So for me, I have admiration for all of you. Okay? Doesn't matter where you're at. In fact, I admire the ones that are from afar because you have less attachment and yet you're connected. You know what I mean? It's a lot easier to be a fan if you're in South Florida and you get to go to the games and you get to go to practice and, you know, you're watching the local news every day and there's news and all that kind of stuff. You open your paper. Well, you don't open paper anymore, but you go online or whatever. And there's your Dolphins. So it's really easy to be a fan locally. It's a lot harder to be a fan away. You know what I mean? So I have admiration for all fans in that sense. Okay? And as much as I love you guys, I will also make fun of your emotions because it will cloud your judgment at the same time. But yeah, man, I think every fan is important and no one's more important than another one. You know what I mean? Just because NorCal or Dolph Freaky what's it called, man? What's the name of my man now that just won Fan of the Year now? Chris Barker. You know, they're not more important than the guy that's sitting in Nebraska or the guy sitting in the Dominican Republic. They're not more important than that. You know what I mean? We have fans in the Bahamas, and they probably never go to the games. You know? So to me, every fan, it's important, man. It's important. You contribute to it, you know? And your love and your passion cannot be measured financially. It's measured with your heart. It's measured with your passion, how you follow it. Like I said, it doesn't matter. You, with your phone, you can follow it anywhere and everywhere now. Anyone. So it's a beautiful thing. So there you go. I hope I answered your question. That's what I feel about all fans, not just outside fans.
Folks, you can support the hardest working sports talk show in South Florida through Cash App or Venmo. Just search Cash Big O Show. Support us through Cash App or Venmo. Cash Big O Show. We thank you for your incredible support.
So Braxton Berrios gets signed over the weekend, right? And we had this conversation all throughout Saturday and on Twitter, if anybody was following it. And I think some of you out there, you got to chill out. And some of you need to get laid and get a life, by the way. So Braxton Berrios signs, and all of a sudden, Braxton Berrios can't play. And I think there's a lot of you out there that you really don't know what you're watching. I really do. The fact that a tight end didn't score a touchdown is Mike McDaniel's fault. The fact that Berrios wasn't used more is Mike McDaniel's fault. The fact that Flo and his sorry ass staff can have Mike Gesicki catch 70 balls and touchdowns. And last year he caught a few touchdowns also for the Patriots. And yet for Mike McDaniel, he can't find a way to use him. And he can't find a way to use Chase Claypool. And he can't find a way to throw the ball more to running backs. And the problem with a lot of you out there is you keep blaming the wrong thing. And so Braxton Berrios gets signed. And people are like, oh, we want a better number three wide receiver. And first of all, let me tell you something. With Tyreek Hill and Waddle and Jonnu Smith, that's your third option. And look, I don't know if Jordy Fortson, the other tight end that they signed from Kansas City, he's really athletic. He's a former receiver. You know, it kind of reminds you of Tanner Connor and those experiments and all that kind of stuff that they're doing and what they tried with getting Higgy with it and all that. So they keep trying to experiment with that former receiver. Maybe they should find a former basketball player. Might have better luck. But overall, like too many of you are getting too deep into this, thinking that you could go out and get a number three receiver that's like a starter. They do not have that kind of money right now because they're saving their money for next year. They have a wave of free agents that they prefer to sign next year than this wave. So they weren't going to spend big money. So they've got to go and try to sign. I wanted KJ Osborne. He just signed with the Patriots. That's one of the guys. What did I talk to you about? I gave you what list I gave you. I have it here somewhere. Where is it? Hunter Renfro, Tyler Boyd, and he would probably be a little too expensive. DJ Chark, Braxton Berrios, KJ Osborne. You know, those are the guys we talked about, and I love KJ. As a number three, would have been good here. You know, people are like, well, Braxton didn't catch this. That it's not Braxton the problem. The problem is Mike McDaniel. And he's got to learn how to scheme outside of Tyreek and Waddle more. And hopefully you are going to get back, you know, an offense that has more balance in the future. You know, that's what I'm hoping you get. Because you haven't had that. More running and more spreading the ball around to other people. And that's on Mike McDaniel. It's not that those guys can't get open. That's the laziest shit that keeps getting repeated over and over and over again. And the number three wide receiver here, I'm sorry, guys. You're not going to find somebody that's like ready to step in and become a starter just in case something happens to Tyreek and Waddle. You have to draft that. Okay? If you drafted like the Niners and you have Ayuk and you have Samuel and you have Kittle, now you've done that. If you did it like Cincinnati and you drafted your guys and you ended up with those three guys, okay. But you're not signing. You're not drafting and signing the three guys as a combination. It just doesn't happen. And so you've also got to plan to pay Waddle. So you're not going to go really expensive. But this whole thing of slamming Braxton Berrios like he's a Jag or something, this kid can play. And he's a tough, hard-nosed kid. And he can be a very serviceable three, which is really a four. Because let's go through the priority list. Tyreek and run. Run and Waddle. Then I want Jonnu Smith. That's my third option or fourth option behind Tyreek, Waddle, and running. Or running Tyreek, Waddle, and then Jonnu. And then my fifth option is a mixture of my running backs and my third receiver, my fourth receiver, whatever they are. If you really look at it, I want my backs catching the ball more than my third receivers. I want Jonnu Smith catching the ball more than my third receiver. So let's, you know, come on, chill out. There was this whole huge discussion and all that. And in the end, the real problem is Mike McDaniel. He's the guy that's got to get better on game day.
This podcast replay is brought to you by Cutter's Edge Total Landscape Solutions. With decades of experience here in South Florida, cuttersedge.com provides fantastic results. Call 954-472-0622.
Oh, are you comfortable with Tua wanting to lose weight and try to run more next season? You have no problem with that because it's not so much to get bulky. He has to get muscular and stronger. And so you can be thinner and yet be strong. So instead of having muscle and baby fat kind of, because that's what it was, right? It wasn't really all structured and, you know, so now define your body a little bit more now. So cut out some of that like baby fat that he still has, right? And cut your body up a little bit more. I don't have a problem with that at all, Troy. None at all. None. Look. The key, Troy, get rid of the goddamn ball. That's all it is. Get rid of the ball, dude. And what did he do last year? Got rid of the ball. No more holding it for 4 or 5 seconds. You do that, and you're going to serve yourself up for hits. And he's not big enough like Ben Roethlisberger or Josh Allen or big quarterbacks that they can take a pounding. Any hit can take him out, but overall, you know, they can take some hits. And Drew Brees cannot take hits, and neither can Bob Greasy and a shitload of these kind of quarterbacks. Get rid of the ball. When everybody was panicking about concussions, what did I say? No panic at all. I said, it had nothing to do with that, dude. It's him being stupid with the ball. He's holding on to it. You can't do that in this league. You need to make a decision and get rid of it. And that's what he did this year. And that's why he lived for another play and another series and another game and the entire season, because he got rid of it. Nothing can change. So he could get muscular and cut out a little bit more fat and all that. But if you hold on to the ball, he's dead meat. It's pretty simple. You get rid of it, you live for the next play. Marino could take more hits than Tua's ever could, and Marino didn't hold on to the ball ever. Fans, you may not be old enough, Troy, but I used to hear Dolphin fans get pissed that he would throw it away and get rid of it so quickly. Somebody's open, bam. Nobody's open, boom, out. I'm not hanging on to the ball and waiting for Bruce Smith to hit me on my blind side. Dan wasn't going to do that. And that's what smart quarterbacks do. Peyton Manning didn't hold on to it. Tom Brady didn't hold on to it. And they're bigger. But what's the difference, right? Those three can't move. Ben used to be able to move around a little bit. You know, Josh Allen can move around a little bit, right? Some of these big quarterbacks can move. The big quarterbacks that couldn't move, they got rid of the ball. Tom Brady got rid of that ball. Dan Marino got rid of that ball. Peyton Manning got rid of that ball. They didn't hang on. By the way, you know who didn't move and used to hang on to the ball and took a freaking beating? Joe Willie Namath. So I'm sure these guys were told the history. And it's like, yeah, we all know that Namath had no knees. And that's because he was a crazy, tough son of a bitch. And he would hold it to the last second, and he would – Namath was notorious for taking a pounding. Ask any New Yorker that saw him. I'm sure there's got to be one right now in the list that saw it, and they know what I'm talking about. Get rid of the football. That hasn't changed in the 60s. That didn't change in the 80s. And that's not changing the 2020s. Get rid of the football. Okay? Sometimes I think that your best way to understand the game and the evolution of the game is to learn about the history of the game and learn about other players and how they did things. Because you may not be able to compare every era to another, but you can certainly compare the players and the things that they had to go through from one era to another. And I just gave you a slew of examples in completely different decades. And that's because you need to have perspective and really understand what this game is all about. And some people just make it out too simplistic. You know, oh, he's injury prone. No. No. It's not what it is. It's just like the whole thing that goes on now with Mike McDaniel. This discussion, especially on Saturday, that I, you know, we you know, fanboys all over the place, they can't blame Mike McDaniel. Oh, no, he's the best coach. Why do you want to get rid of him? I didn't want to get rid of him. I never said to fire him. I never said I don't like him. I'm a huge fan, and I'm rooting for him. But I am willing to say he is flawed as hell. Great offensive mind, but he's not a great head coach. Not even close. And it's like, you know, some of you out there, you're just not willing to admit it. You know, that's the problem is, on the offensive side, McDaniel's a lot of your problems. See if he can figure it out.
This podcast replay is brought to you by Welton Rayom. Call for a free consultation. 954-966-4646. At Welton Rayom, they don't get paid unless you win. Welton Rayom handles property damage claims due to a hurricane. Welton Rayom can help. 954-966-4646.
Lisa says, just the day after the Miami Herald story about Tyreek supposedly cleaning up his act, more reports about, look, let's, I might as well get into this already, at least one portion of the whole thing with Tyreek, okay? Obviously, if you read the story that, you know, there was a domestic issue between him and his wife, and there were no marks, so they couldn't press any charges, or they couldn't do anything, and so they, you know, whatever, all the typical stuff that happens in any kind of alleged abusive relationship that, you know, the person doesn't really get arrested and the woman sometimes kind of, you know, defends it or hides it or whatever. And whatever happens. See, the problem with Tyreek now, for me at least personally, you guys carry however you want to do it. You want to be fanboy or fangirl, you go ahead. I'll stay in the objective seat. And I'll tell you now that Tyreek Hill has zero credibility. He lies and constantly lies. Okay? And if you don't think he's doing anything wrong, like the model thing, I believe her over him now. I don't believe him in anything now. The only thing that's believable is maybe the what happened in the club, in the comedy club, that it really wasn't him, but he sat in somebody's seat, so it kind of instigated, and then his party ended up getting in a fight, which is still on him because he's hanging around with a bunch of losers. And by the way, he's a loser off the field too. Let's be honest. He's a great player on the field. He's explosive. He's a freaking moron off the field. Now, there's no trading of Tyreek. There's no cutting of Tyreek. So stop all of that. He's too good. So you will tolerate it. And hopefully you will tolerate it for the next 2 years. Notice how they needed cap space. They didn't go there. So you're not going to go there anymore for cap space. You're going to play these 2 years out, and then you move on from him because Waddle will then take over as the one, and his fat salary will take over at that point, because that's when his fat salary will take over in 3 years. Because next year he gets his deal. The second year, it'll be a low salary. And then the third year, you know, that's how it is from here. Next year will be year one where he gets his contract. And then the following year won't be really a big time number. It's the year after when Tyreek leaves. That's when his number explodes. So it's kind of like a timing thing. So you just got to hope that he doesn't get in any more trouble, which is really almost impossible, to be quite honest. You know, and obviously when he went on the Pivot podcast what was the bullshit that he was spewing? And this is what it is now with Tyreek. Unfortunately, this is what I have to do. I have to look at him like this and say, you're just a bullshitter, bro. That's all. That's all. You're a bullshitter. I lost my true self from what my grandparents raised me to be when I entered the league. I completely forgot my relationships with God, and it really showed. So, you know. Whatever. I mean, dude, who files for a divorce? Like, you know what? It's such a disaster. His life is a disaster off the field. Because that doesn't happen to you. It's not happened to me. I've been married for 30 years today. 30 years. No domestic issues. It's pretty easy, by the way. It's super easy not to have any domestic issues, not have the cops over your house. I don't know about some of you out there, but I'm 57 and it's been pretty freaking easy. Really easy. Okay. I don't break any woman's legs. Okay. I don't attack a guy on a pier. And really, what did I tell you in the pier incident? What did I tell you in the pier incident months ago? What did I tell you in the pier incident months ago? He has anger issues. And what? They had to stop him two other times from attacking that man. Do you know how bad that pier issue would have been if his friend wasn't there stopping him the first time and the five other people had to stop him the second time? Tyreek has gotten away with a ton of shit because he's Tyreek Hill and he's got money and they cover up shit for him. They're not going to cover up shit for you or me. There's a bunch of stuff we probably don't know about. Unfortunately, this is how we have to look at Tyreek now. He cannot be trusted. Not one word he says. He cannot be trusted at all. He does not know how to behave in public. He is incapable of it. He continually proves it. And it doesn't stop. And he knows it. He admitted it. You guys can be fanboys and fangirls all you want and live in denial. Oh, no, he's great. Yes, he's great. He's a great talent. Let's separate the talent and the person. And the person is incredibly flawed. He is as dysfunctional as it gets. You mean you marry her and then you want her to sign a prenup and then you get into a fight about that? You shocked you're going to get into a fight about that? You don't talk about the prenup before? Are you not smart enough? And then you have a domestic issue and then the cops are called and, you know. And then you invite a Instagram model over, a very curvy Instagram model over. You've already got baby mamas, which your wife knows about already. And so apparently something happened in that pickup football game that she ended up with a broken leg. Sorry, Tyreek, you have no credibility, bro. None. Whatever you say means nothing. It's your word is trash. Trash. You have zero credibility. So yeah, whatever you lost your way, whatever your grandparents taught you, whatever it is, I'm sure it wasn't what you've been doing for years now. And who knows what you did behind the scenes in Kansas City, why they said, yeah, nah, it's not worth it. We're moving on. And then they've won two titles without you. Because they didn't need you to win the titles. So this is what we have to look at now with Tyreek Hill. We just have to hope, pray to the football gods that he stops being an absolute moron. That's all. The stupid shit he does, none of us do. The average person doesn't do the stupid shit that Tyreek Hill does. And he knows it. I'm sure the Dolphins know it too. I'm sure the Dolphins are like, damn it, dude. And there'll be no trade. No one's trading for Tyreek. You know, it'll be a Justin Fields trade. They'll give you nothing in return. Why? Baggage. And a big-ass salary. So stop, because I had a bunch of fans DM me, reply to me on all social media. Oh, no, they should cut him. They should. You can't cut him, dude. That's ridiculous. You need him. Okay, the guy's a hell of a player. But he's not a hell of a person. That's all. Tyreek's a phony, bro. A phony. What he acts in front, he cannot do it behind the scenes. He obviously has anger issues. And those anger issues have been shown with a guy at the pier, with his wife, with an Instagram model, whatever, bro. It's constantly shown. From college, where he also had incidents, he has anger issues, and he doesn't know how to control them. And I said this in the peer incident because, dude, I don't have to be a psychologist. I don't. You're mad at an old man that told you you can't fish in the pier, and you got so furious that you hit him once and then you tried to attack him two more times. Think about that. I know fanboy can't. Fanboy, you can't listen to this because fanboy can't handle honesty and reality and facts. That's what happens with fanboy. Because it hurts him. It hurts his team. Oh, you're hurting my feelings. Oh. So fanboy, you might want to tune out. But that's how we have to look at Tyreek. Fantastic player on the field. Inconsistent with his hands. Too much for me. But awesome player. I get it. Still drops way too many important passes, which, you know, bothers me. But fine. But you need him. You have no choice. So you have to tolerate and hope for the best for the next 2 years. That's it. That's all. That's all you can do with Tyreek Hill. Hope for the best for the next 2 years. Hope that he learns how to stay out of trouble because he just doesn't know how to not be in trouble. That's all. Think about it. Just to put yourself in his shoes. Over the last couple of years, any of those incidents? Because I could say over the last 40 years, I don't have any incidents like that. Not just the last couple of years. I'm sure a lot of you could say, yeah, I don't have them for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. Because most of us don't. So just cross your fingers, buy rabbit's feet, find a four-leaf clover, go see a Buddha, go see a rabbi, go see a priest, do whatever you can, and pray that Tyreek Hill stops being a moron off the field. Okay? That's all we have to do. That's all we can do. And just hope for the best. Because really, it's embarrassing to see what that guy does on a consistent basis. It's pretty freaking pathetic. That's my two cents on Tyreek.